Happy Sabbath. Did everybody get one of these in their program? I try to give these out so that you can follow along, and then when you take them home, you can look at it and review or give a Bible study out of it. You have some scripture verses to go by. Today we're going to look at the character of God. And when I Googled, because I like to be on the computer a lot, so I Google. When I Googled the definition of character, I found the following three. The mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual, the distinctive nature of something, and the aggregate or combined features and traits that form an individual nature of some person. You know, when it comes to character, there is a standard out there. And the standard is God's character. Our lives are intended to reflect His glory. And we most reflect His glory when we most approximate His character. Biblically speaking, the standard for ours, or man's character, is very clear. It's to emulate God's character. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go further into this message, we ask for your guiding voice to come through me, that what everyone hears is what you want them to hear, not what is written here, not what I might want to say, but what you want them to hear. Lord, be with them, be with us all. Amen. You know, God has actually, you might say, two types of characteristics or characters, characteristics of His character. Those that are acquirable or attainable by man, and those that are unacquirable, they're God's alone. So let us start with God's acquirable character traits. The entire Bible is a revelation of God, an effort on His part to let us know who He is, what His character is, and what our relationship to Him should be. So what does the Bible tell us about God? Well, in Exodus, God Himself tells Moses and us some of what His character consists of. It says, "And the Lord passes before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.'" This tells us a lot about the Lord. But one thing that we know for certain, besides what he had stated here, God is love. And love is the decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. Disciple John wrote in 1 John 4:8, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God's love means that He continually gives of Himself to others. Now, some might say, what about the destruction of the wicked? Is that love? Well, God's destruction of the wicked is actually unfailing love, both for them and for the righteous. The wicked know what the penalty of sin is, but they choose to continue to live wickedly and then die. They would not be happy in God's kingdom, under God's law. So God is giving them really what they want, what they have chosen. And the righteous, they hate sin. They hate what it does to people. They hate what it does to God. Another character trait is God is joy. By believing in God, obeying His will, and receiving His forgiveness, participating in fellowship with other believers, ministering to others, sharing the gospel, believers will experience this joy. Psalm 16:11 states, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness and joy. At your right hand are pleasure forevermore." God is peaceful. Peace is a state of assurance, a lack of fear, a sense of commitment. Peace is freedom from worry, disturbance, and oppressive thoughts. God is separated from all confusion and disorder. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as all in the churches of the saints." And Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 32, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." God is patience. Patience, or long-suffering, is a slowness in avenging wrongs, in bearing pain or problems without complaining. God is slow to anger, as given in Psalms 103, verse 8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy." Driving the freeways and side streets these days is a test of anyone's patience. I know it is for me. I heard this little story about patience, and I'll present it to you. A man was at a traffic light. It turned green, and guess what? His engine stalled. Has that ever happened to any of you? Well, he tries with ignition, keeps pressing on the gas pedal till he floods it. Then guess what all the people behind him do? Beep, 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 beep. He patiently got out of his car, walked to the driver behind him. He calmly told the driver that he could not get his car to start. Then he stated to him, "You know, if you'd like to try, almost graciously let you do it, and I'll stay here and beep the horn for you." God is patient in all that He has done, all that He does, and will do. You know what one of the greatest examples of this is? You are alive, and I'm still here alive. God is merciful. Mercy, or kindness, is an eagerness to put others at ease. God is compassionate towards those in misery and distress. As we stated before in Exodus 34:6, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. God is good. Goodness is the selfless desire to be open-hearted and generous to all others above what they deserve. Again, God is not only good, but He's a standard for goodness. As is stated in Psalms 105, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures for all generations." God is faithful. Faithfulness is a firm devotion to others and dependability to carry out responsibilities. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 states, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." God is meek and humble. He's not proud. The life of Jesus tells us what God is like. Jesus said of Himself, according to Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This tells us that God the Father is also meek, humbled and not proud of what He can do. God has self-control. Now, self-control is restraining one's emotions, actions, and desire. It's akin to being patient, peaceful, loving towards all. Think about all the times God could have destroyed all of mankind in the flood, destroyed Nineveh without giving them a chance to repent. The Israelites, when they were delivered from Egypt, sitting at the bottom of Mount Sinai, Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments written in stone. They made for themselves an idol. But he could have destroyed them all, but he didn't. God is light. The disciple John wrote in 1 John 1, verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is truthful. The disciple John wrote not only is God the true God, but his words and knowledge are true and are in fact a standard again by which truth is judged. For Titus 1:2 says, in hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, promised from time before time began. Now, this is one you may not even think about, but God is also wrathful. That's part of his character. Why is he wrathful? Because he hates sin. But keep in mind, he hates sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. We are all sinners, yet God loves us very much. He loves us enough that he is willing to allow us to choose whether we want to live or die. In other words, he allows us to choose whether we trust him to do what is best for us or not to trust him at all. And remember, it is possible to say that we trust God, but we really don't in our heart. And he reads the hearts, not as much as our words. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. God is righteous and just. God's always totally fair in everything that he does. He is just and right. Deuteronomy 32:4 states, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. God is also jealous. God seeks us continually to protect his honor, as stated in Exodus 34:14. For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God is perfect. God possesses all good qualities and does not lack any. Nor does he have any qualities that are not good. Matthew 5, verse 48 tells us, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you didn't realize that you could be perfect, did you? It says so right there, the Bible. Now, how about some of the traits that we can't obtain? Well, for one, God's eternal. He endures. He is not here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. There was no time when God was not. He has no beginning or end. He does not live in time as we do. He sees time equally, yet discerns the place, events in time, and acts at the specific points in time. Revelation 1:8 states, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. God is unchangeable. God does not change. His nature does not change. He acts always in proper response to every aspect of his nature. David tells us in Psalms 102, verses 25 through 27, "Of old you laid the foundation of earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." God is omnipotent. According to Matthew 19, verse 26, he is all-powerful. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." God is omniscient. He knows everything. He cannot hide anything from God. You can't hide anything from God. For his eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. Job 34:21. God is omnipresent. He exists everywhere, but can and does act in different ways, in different places. According to Jeremiah 23, verses 23 to 24, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and earth, says the Lord?" And this one might seem a little strange, but it is true. God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the God, Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. It also states in John 10, verse 30, Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." And on a handout I provide you to review how God is described in just the books of Proverbs. You can read this later for yourself. And the list goes on and on. The characteristics and attributes of God are so numerous to list that I would be here all day, all night, and then some, just to stay. And I'm trying to keep it shorter than that. What about the Ten Commandments compared to God's character? The Ten Commandments reveals God, his very own nature and character. In the insert, in the center section, is a listing of scriptures and attributes for each of God's character and the Ten Commandments. You can see how they correlate. This is because the Ten Commandments are love, just as God is love, and thus do share similar, in fact, identical attributes. The Ten Commandments, therefore, provide the perfect moral and social rules of behavior, which, when followed, will guide a person towards having a more Christ-like or God-like character. This is something all Christians should desire and strive to achieve. The Ten Commandments, as given in Mount Sinai, are a reflection of God's nature in that they contain universal and unchanging principles of morality and describe our relation to God and our fellow human beings. Through God's law, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and calls us to repentance. Paul said in Romans 7:7, "What shall we say? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" Without the law, there is no transgression, and hence no sin to repent from, as sin is actually transgression of the law. The reason God cannot tolerate sin, it is because it's a defilement of his own character. Can you really go against something that you truly believe in, that's part of you? No, it's almost impossible. It is impossible for God. You know, speaking of sin, did you know that Satan's goal is singular? He wants to discredit God. Most of all, he wants to discredit God in four areas. You can call these the four W's. The worth of God, that's who he is, his character. The word of God, what he said, the Bible. The works of God, what he has done, his manifestations here on this earth. The ways of God, how he works. The higher, purer ways that astonish and astound the world, but do not conform to it. The devil has been spreading lies about God, about what kind of being he is. So Jesus came to show us what God is really like. And Satan didn't want this, because by comparison, it would show Satan's deceit. But Jesus came anyway. Jesus was God made visible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. And then John 1:14 goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as only that of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In fact, when Jesus was asked by Philip what the Father was like, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? The character of the Father and the character of the Son, Jesus, are the same, as is the character of the Holy Spirit. When you study one, you learn about the others. And God wants only the best for us. The Lord tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Ellen G. White, in Desire of Ages, page 308, states, God desires us to be happy. And he gave us the precepts of the law, that in obeying them, we might have joy. And then David, in Psalms 51:10, asked God, which was our scripture today, verse, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. King David is asking God to do for him what we should also ask God to do for us, is to give us the character and attitude of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a clean heart and a right spirit. That God wants us to hate sin as much as he does is shown in Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. If we have the same attitude that was in Jesus, then we have the same character traits. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, it states, when the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. Naturally, Mrs. White was talking about God's acquirable character traits, the fruits of the Spirit and such. In summary, God's character has the same character traits as the fruit of the Spirit, stated in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. In addition, God is light. He is truthful. He's wrathful towards sin. Righteous and just, jealous for his own honor, and perfect in every way. God is eternal, unchangeable, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and one. God would like our character to reflect His in our life. By doing this, we will be transformed back into the image of what God created man to be. This is why we should and need to care about God's character. People have a tendency to emulate, to be transformed into the image of their gods, their idols, what they see, what they imagine. One reason the Bible is so severe against the practice of idolatry is because you become what you worship. That is why we are not to make an idol of anything, but to model our lives after God. Then we shall be like Him. And remember, we are not trying to be God as Lucifer wanted, but to model our lives after God and His character. You have heard the saying, stop, look, and listen. Let's change that to stop our current ways, look at ourselves, and learn from God's example.